Welcome back to episode 180 of the Hockey Cards Gong Show podcast. My name is Josh. I'm here with Troy. Happy Sunday, Troy. What's going on, bud?
Happy Sunday. Not much. Trying to fix your computer problems, which we got resolved again.
It's so frustrating when you get a brand new computer and it doesn't do simple things. Yeah, my computer forgets that there's microphones and cameras. And then it doesn't want to play nice. But yeah, we got it rolling. Sun's out. Playoff hockey time going on right now. So obviously a great time of year. I didn't even look today at the scores, and we're recording, 2:30 our time, something like that. And saw the playoff. Yeah, it's like the Florida Panthers are built for the playoffs, right? Matthew Tkachuk comes out of his shell. Sam Reinhart picks it up where he left off, and they take game one over Tampa Bay 3-2, something like that.
Right? Yeah, 3-2.
Okay. And then I think right now, was it Capitals and Rangers?
Yeah.
0-0.
0-0.
Then we had a couple games yesterday. What happened yesterday? I forgot.
Toronto lost 5-1. And then the Hurricanes beat the Islanders 3-1. So the Bruins beat the Maple Leafs 5-1. Hurricanes beat the Islanders 3-1.
Now I remember.
So now it's all anarchy in Toronto when we get there for the Expo. If they don't,
is it going to be a grumpy Expo? Is that what we're going to have?
Or they don't get a win. It might be.
Oh, man. Well, all right. Well, we got a lot to get into, so we're going to get the show rolling. Just before we do, though, a very quick reminder that the Hockey Cards Gong Show podcast is a Patreon podcast. That means we rely on support of listeners and watchers like yourself to help us cover the expenses it takes to create this show, produce more and hopefully better hockey card content, and fund initiatives, even in a small way, to grow the hockey hobby. It's very easy to support us. You can do it through Patreon. We have a $1 out of $1.99 support level tier that starts at just $5 a month. That also gets you exclusive access to the Gong Show Discord server. To support us, you can go to our website, hockeycardsgongshow.com. Click on the Become a Patron link at the top of the page. Go to the Patreon website directly, patreon.com. Search for Hockey Cards Gong Show. There's a link in the show description, whether you're listening to us on a podcast app or you're watching on YouTube. And then finally, there's a link in our TikTok and Instagram profiles. Wow, I motored through that, Troy. It's like I've done it 180 times.
Yeah, and it was funny because I just realized we had the share screen up the whole time. So we started the show sharing the screen. I think that's a first.
Well, we've just had 40 minutes of pulling your hair out over audio drivers. So, yeah, hopefully people will have a little bit of forgiveness for us.
Forgiveness. In that regard. All right.
Go ahead.
All right. We begin with the almost greatest NHL player to wear number 80. Then it's off to the final regular season edition of Who's Hot and the Struggle Bus. Next is hobby news, followed by a segment where we take a look at if some of the legendary seasons we have seen from players this year has moved their hobby needle at all. Then we take a look at new product releases, followed by our Gong Show mailbag. And we end the show with any personal pickups. Okay, Josh, previously we looked at the greatest NHL player that wore the number that matched our episode number. We ran through all the numbers. So now we are looking at the almost greatest NHL player to wear each number from the runners up in the Hockey Writer's Greatest NHL Player to Wear Each Number article. Josh, the almost greatest NHL player to wear number 80 per the nominees in the Hockey Writer's Greatest NHL Player to Wear Each Number article and selected by me is Kevin Weeks. We got a goalie.
Very untraditional goalie number, right?
Very untraditional goalie number. Look at these pads on this picture. If you're watching on YouTube, I mean,
those are pretty awesome.
This is before graphics were a big deal to put on pads, but he's playing for Carolina. And it's got, I don't know what, is that a Panther or what is that?
I'm kind of confused what's going on there.
It could have been, it might be AHL pads or something and he got called up. I'm not sure. I'm totally not sure if that's the case, but maybe he just likes those pads. But anyways, there were no other runners up at number 80. As a reminder, the greatest to our number 80 was Nick Antropov.
Yep.
And he got it kind of by default. But anyways. All right. Kevin Weeks, goalie, Josh, from Toronto, Ontario. We speak it into existence earlier in the show. Talk about Toronto. Hey, he's from Toronto.
Yep.
Weeks was the 41st overall selection in the 1993 NHL entry draft by the Florida Panthers. Weeks played in 348 regular season NHL games over an 11-season NHL career. All right, Kevin Weeks, Josh, I think he is what we're going to call a journeyman in the sports world. Okay, check this out. Weeks began his career with one full season with the Panthers. Next was a full season with the Canucks. In his third NHL season, he spent time with Vancouver and the New York Islanders. Fourth season was with Tampa Bay. His fifth season, he split time with Tampa Bay and Carolina. He spent his sixth and seventh seasons with Carolina. Okay, we got some stability. Eighth and ninth season was with the Rangers. And his final two seasons were with the New Jersey Devils.
Jeez. So
by my mathematical ability, I counted seven teams in 11 seasons.
It's not a math show.
They're not a math show. Pure definition of a journeyman. But he played 11 seasons. For his
Can I say something else about Kevin Weeks that just is kind of, I've thought about a little bit. How many other African-American goalies have played in the...
Or, not a lot. I know Subban's brother, Malcolm, and
Grant Fuhr, right?
Yep, Grant Fuhr, and this is where my knowledge starts.
We might have forgotten a name or two, but very cool from that perspective, too. He's one of very few, non-white goalies.
Yep. All right. No individual NHL awards or team accomplishments for our boy Kevin Weeks. For his career, his NHL regular season record, 105 wins, 163 losses, 39 ties, 2.87 goals against average, .903 save percentage, and 19 shutouts. Weeks made the playoffs in two of his 11 NHL seasons, compiling three wins, three losses, with a 1.93 goals against average and a .927 save percentage and two shutouts in nine playoff games played. So, hey, the stats got a lot better in the playoffs. I know he came in relief a couple times, but there was with Carolina, he had a huge, like, two-game stretch where they needed him, I think, due to injury, or he just went in and he played, got two wins and helped them a lot in the playoffs. But for his career, only made it two out of 11 times. Uh-oh. New Kevin Weeks picture. There we go. Same pads, different jersey.
Same pads.
Same pads, different jersey. When looking at the best season for Kevin Weeks, here's the deal. He only had one season where he had a winning percentage greater than 50%. And that was his last season with New Jersey. I'm not going to count that because he didn't play very many games. He only played 16 games in that season and had a record of 7-5. So for his best season, I'm going with this 2003-04 season with Carolina, where Weeks had a record of 23 wins, 30 losses, 11 ties, we'll call it, with a 2.33 goals against average and a .912 save percentage and six shutouts in 66 games played. All right, as previously stated, Weeks had a journeyman career, mainly a backup during his NHL career. However, he was a starter in 2000, 2001 with Tampa Bay, and in 2002-03 and 2003-04 with the Carolina Hurricanes. So a couple of years there, or 3 years total as a starter, but most of the time backup, sometimes went down back and forth between the AHL. Josh, after his retirement, this is where our boy gets interesting. Weeks has had a second life in hockey and is arguably more well known for his role as an analyst and a reporter than as an NHL player. Weeks is currently a hockey analyst for ESPN, where he does studio work as well as game analyst duties for select NHL games. He is also a regular contributor on NHL.com. He also has done color commentary work for the NHL Network and CBC's Hockey Night in Canada. In addition, Weeks does a lot of charity work. He supports youth hockey throughout the U.S. and Canada and also does work with the Special Forces Charitable Trust. And I didn't put this in here, but if you want breaking hockey news, follow his Twitter or his X account, whatever it is. He actually breaks and reports on a lot of hockey news in the hockey world. So definitely has had a second life in hockey as an analyst. And I think he's probably way more better known as an analyst or a news guy, even to the younger generation, probably more than they probably don't even know he played. They just know he's an analyst guy that breaks news. All right, fun, interesting facts for our boy, Kevin Weeks. Why did Kevin Weeks wear number 80? Well, the reason he sometimes wore jersey number 80 during his career was he wanted to wear double zero. However, Josh, as we know, double zero and single zero are not allowed anymore in the NHL. Causes chaos with their analytics database or their stats database. I guess they just don't want to figure it out because it shouldn't be that big of a deal. But I get the problems, but whatever. Weeks chose the number that most closely resembled double zero. He felt it was 80. So that's why he wears number 80. Weeks' parents both immigrated to Canada from Barbados. Found that interesting. So you mentioned how many black goalies. Well, here's a little fun fact from his ESPN bio as an analyst. In 2009, Weeks became the first black analyst in ice hockey.
Wow.
Two shocking things about that. I can't believe it was 2009.
Yeah, no kidding.
that we finally had, and that he was the first. I just assumed, I guess, that there had been more. But no, that's what they say. He's the first black analyst in ice hockey in 2009. Weeks has appeared on soap operas All My Children and One Life to Live, making cameo appearances. Weeks.
Are those shows still on? Like, are there still soap operas?
I know there's still soap operas. I have no clue if it's Days of Our Lives, if it's the ones we grew up with. I'm sure they're still rolling. A lot of.
It was like a thing to do when I was in college.
Yeah, we used to watch
for everyone to watch Days.
Because it was on during the afternoon. If you didn't have class, you might as well watch that and have fun. Weeks, along with Willie O'Ree, both appeared in Everybody Hates Chris episode called Everybody Hates Gretzky in 2008. I've not seen that episode, but now I want to go see it.
I'm just going to say we got to go look that up because now I'm very curious.
Yeah. In 2023, Weeks became an American citizen. Now, I couldn't find if he holds dual citizenship. I would assume so. Probably a little more benefit there. But
can you have triple citizenship? Like if he's a Barbados citizen and a Canadian and
great
an American?
Question. I got to believe somewhere in that string, one of those countries is like, nope, you got to either have dual or single.
In or out, right?
In or out. And Josh, in a tie to Minnesota, Weeks made news on April 18th of this year. So what, 3 days ago, as of when we're recording, when he tweeted out video from his 16th floor hotel room of a man using a chain and whipping another man on the streets outside of the Xcel Energy Center in St. Paul. Stay classy, St. Paul.
That's great.
I don't know what was going on. There's video of it on X, Twitter. I don't want to show it, but he got like 1.5 million views or something.
Like legit, like trying to hurt the guy?
Yes, dude had a chain just swinging at another dude. I don't know what led up to it. You know, the cops came, but the guy had run off, and I don't know whatever happened with it, but you can find the
video. It wasn't you and me in our button bar fight. Well, I kind of
blacked that out. No, button bar update. I learned some things on it. Still not ready to break it out, but I'm getting a little bit better at it.
Okay.
So anyways, that's what we got for Kevin Weeks. Now let's look at his rookie card, bring it up on screen for our YouTube viewers. Here it is. 1997 SP Authentic number 183 Future Watch. Josh, PSA 10 pop is 2 with a gem rate of 50%. Someone do the math. Tell me how many have been submitted. I think I can get that one.
70-30.
Last sale of this card I could find was on December 20th, Josh, of 2015 for $2.30 via PWCC. Thank you, Card Ladder, for having many, many moons of research data. But yeah, 2015 on the PSA 10. However, PSA 9 copy of this card did sell on April 26th of 2021. So we're getting closer. Via eBay, verified in Terapeak for $14.61 US. So that's
not a bad rookie card.
No,
I've seen a lot worse.
Yep, seen a lot worse. A little color match. I like it.
All right, Troy.
All right.
The regular season finale, as they like to say in the business, of the Who's Hot and Struggle Best list. We've concluded week 28 of the NHL, and the regular season is over. It's donezo, Troy. It's gone. So today we're going to put a bow on it, finish strong. For the regular season finale of Who's Hot in the Struggle Bus, where we review the last week or so in the NHL, highlight players that are leading their team and league in scoring, and then the guys that are lined up to take their seats on the Struggle Bus. We're going to start with our final players for Who's Hot. So here we go. Went totally homer, but it's like my last chance this year to talk about dollar bill Kirill.
Yep.
Kirill Kaprizov. Well, and it is justified because in the past 2 weeks, nobody in the NHL, no one, not even Kucherov, not McDavid, not Austin Matthews, not Ovi, not anybody had more points in the NHL than Dollar Bill Kirill. Did it matter?
No.
No. What a waste. Prime Dollar Bill Kirill, Troy. So his last seven games played, and unfortunately, it is his last seven games.
Yeah.
Kirill the Thrill posted 9 goals, 3 assists for 12 points. That's good. His last 21 games, Troy, 13 goals, 33 points. Did it matter?
Nope.
Nope. Doesn't matter. In the end, it ended up being a pretty good year for the 26-year-old Russian Dynamo. Finished with 46 goals, 50 assists for 96 points and 75 games played. He did have a little bit of a slower start to the year, but really picked it up in the back half of the season. It's his third consecutive season scoring 40 or more goals. We have a guy on our team who scored 40 goals 3 years in a row. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, but we'll go ahead and waste it. It's all good. It's all good.
Kaprizov's 46 goals this season was good for 8th in the NHL. He has the 5th most goals in the league since 2021. Only Drysdale, McDavid, Austin Matthews, and David Pastrnak have scored more during that span. And in 4 NHL seasons now, Kaprizov has accumulated 160 goals, 170 assists for 330 points, and 278 games played. Sadly, he's already 4th in franchise history for goals behind Gabby, Mikko Koivu, and Zach Parise.
Nice.
And he's 7th already in franchise and points, Troy. After 4 years.
4 years.
So hopefully we can build a better squad around him next season. That would be fantastic.
We won't. We can't.
Kaprizov is a 2020 Young Guns. PSA there 10, top 5,060.
Yeah.
66% generate less over $139 US dollars on April 18th.
Ooh.
Up about 18% in the past 2 weeks.
Don't call it a comeback. I'm going to get mine out. Start shining it up, polishing it.
Yeah. It seems like this card has gone in like the 120 to 140 yeah. range for about a year now.
That's where I think it's just going to settle there forever unless he becomes a stud. Like, I mean, like a superstar stud, like 150 points, get a Stanley Cup in there. And
we wouldn't make the playoffs.
No.
All right. You got the next one.
I do got the next one, Josh. Josh, we have a first timer. I'm pretty sure it's a first timer. First timers club. We got a first timer on the Who's Hot list. It's probably the first time we have talked about or said the player's name on our show. Apologies. I almost had to sneeze right on camera, but I stopped it. Here we go, everyone, if you're watching on YouTube. Welcome to Who's Hot, Robert Thomas.
Wait. Rob Thomas, the guy from Matchbox 20?
Matchbox 20's lead singer made it. No, this guy's Robert Thomas. He goes by Robert.
Robert.
All right. Yeah, no kidding. In the past 2 weeks, the 24-year-old forward from Aurora, Ontario, had 3 goals, 8 assists for 11 points in 6 games played with the St. Louis Blues. Now, Josh, I'm not a Blues fan. I don't watch them a lot. It seemed like they had a pretty, I'll call it okay, decent season. I don't know if you want to say that, but they did make the play. They did not make the NHL playoffs. They finished 3rd in the wild card hunt in the Western Conference.
You know what the problem is with us and the Blues? Is our team never plays good against them. So they might have had like the worst season ever, and we would think that they're like the 83 Oilers or something like that, because every time the Wild play the Blues, we get thumped.
Get thumped, and then Binnington will chase down Ryan Hartman or someone and beat him up because he doesn't like him in front of their net. All right. Thomas had a career year in goals, assists, and points this year. He finished 23-24 season with 26 goals, 60 assists, for 86 points. In fact, he led the St. Louis Blues in assists and points this season. So, Josh, outside of St. Louis, I wonder how many people actually know about Robert Thomas.
Everybody there's under the radar, right? Yeah. I mean, Jordan Kyrou would be probably the most known. But, you know, another guy, like a little hobby take here, Troy, hobby take? Is look up Jake Neighbors. He had sneaky more goals than you would have expected.
Yeah, I read a whole like season recap on The Athletic about player grades. And I think Kyrou might have led the team in goals, if I remember, but I think Neighbors and was definitely up there like an A or A+, if I remember right. Hopefully I'm not wrong. But yeah, Robert Thomas had an outstanding year this year. In fact, Thomas was just the 4th Blues players since 2000 to post 80 plus points in a season. Joining Pavel Dimitra, who we talked about just recently, Pierre Turgeon, and Vladimir Tarasenko. So that's
kind of bad, isn't it?
It's bad, but it's kind
24 of 24 years, four guys with 80 points in a season.
Yep, since 2000. So if I'm the Blues, you have to be pretty pumped about Robert Thomas, who is only in the first year, Josh, of an 8-year, $65 million U.S. contract.
Okay.
So a lot of years ahead of him. Cale Makar, who I would trust his opinion on, had this to say about Thomas recently.
Blue line Jesus, right?
Cale Makar. Blue line Jesus. He's got speed, and I feel like his vision and his shot are lethal. As well, I think he's always been one of their key guys on the team. He's definitely a core player for them. And a guy like him, you've got to be aware when he's on the ice for sure. And I will say this, the more you read about this guy, he has all the tools to take the next step. He has speed, wicked shot, stick handling, and playmaking skills, along with being a legit two-way player. He can also find the open player and move the puck in a moment's notice. Obviously, a ton of assists this year, almost reached 30 goals. I think this is a guy you really watch and see what he does. And I'm actually interested to see what he does next year. I'm actually becoming a little bit of a Robert Thomas fan now that I...
Matchbox 20 or hockey player?
Hockey.
Okay.
I like Matchbox 20's first record. It's pretty good. I like Long Day. All right.
It just got overplayed on the radio.
Oh, yeah. All that stuff. Okay. Robert Thomas is a 2018 Young Guns with a PSA 10 pop of 294, gem rate of 66%. Recently, this card has a couple sales around the $65 US mark in April, with one of those sales being at Gongshou partner Slap Sharks on April 18th, 2024 for $65.83 US. I think that was the highest in April. That's why I specifically called it out.
Okay.
This card does not sell, it does sell somewhat frequently, not a ton, but it will go three, four, five times in a month. And around the last couple weeks of October, there were sales anywhere from 35 to 50 US dollars. So it's definitely seen a little spike. We're definitely, you know, in that 65 US dollar range. So it's definitely a nice little bump. Sweet. Oh. I just stopped another sneeze. I don't know what's going on.
Wait. Is that satisfying to you? I hate that.
No, I tried to get it to come out, but it didn't. So I just have to sit here and look.
It's like the worst feeling when it doesn't come. It's like you want that satisfaction of getting that out.
Yeah. So I'm sure whoever's watching on YouTube will just clip a screenshot of that because I look like a bonehead trying to. Go ahead.
Your idea, Troy sneeze face.
There it went. I got it, but I hit mute.
Yeah, got it on you.
This whole show is a mess. All right, keep going. Next.
Well, it's kind of fitting, and we didn't plan this. There was no meeting or anything, but we picked all three guys for who's hot that will not be in the playoffs. So it's a little swan song for our best. Did you like dump your head in pepper or something like that? What's going on? You got mute on, buddy.
Now I'm on mute. Now I'm all, oh my God, this is a mess. No, I don't know what's going on. I'm trying to not sneeze on camera or sneeze into the microphone.
Yeah, that's good.
Sorry, everyone.
You think after like 180 shows, we'd be getting better at this?
No, of course not.
Okay. So the third guy who's hot, Andre Kuzmenko, Troy.
Yep.
Yeah. Feels like there's been some definitive twists and turns in the Kuzmenko NHL and hobby experience. Kind of shot onto the scene last season as the too old to be a Calder candidate rookie. Led all first, I guess you call it first year NHL players in goals with 39, I think he had last year, right? So yeah, a lot of goals. In the past couple weeks, the 27-year-old Calgary forward has produced 5 goals, 5 assists for 10 points in 7 games played. So finishing this year, 22 goals, 24 assists for 46 points, a pretty big drop from his quote unquote rookie year last year.
Is that it's not a Huberdoian drop, is
no.
it?
No, like a McDavid dropping goals.
Ooh, shots fired.
So yeah, last year he had 39 goals, 35 assists for 74 points. So much so he got kind of off to a slow start this year. He's traded to by the Canucks to the Flames on January 31st. I remember reading at the time that he was not a Tocket guy. Like Tocket, wasn't buying into the Kuzmenko program. I don't know if he's a 200-foot player, Troy. As they like to say, maybe more of like a cherry picker offensive kind of guy. But well, he's had a much better stint at the end of the year with Calgary.
Mm-hmm.
21 points in 43 games. Well, he had 21 points in 43 games played with Vancouver. Then he had 25 points in only 29 games since landing in Calgary.
Okay.
Also scored the most goals for the Flames since that trade was completed.
Wow.
So he did have a big impact. Here's a quote from Kuzmenko about his turnaround this year. He says, "It's a big difference for me because it's my second season in this league. I understand what I need, how I need to work and train, how I need to focus, and how I need to believe in myself." Isn't it amazing he doesn't have a Russian accent?
It's amazing to me that's his second year and it's 27. It's so crazy when we see so many players, they're 18, 19, 20. They'll be like 8 years into their career at age 26 or 27, yeah. And then this guy's in his second year, but good for him.
Well, the reason why he's so old is because he was not Calder eligible last year. He played 6 years of pro hockey in the KHL, yeah. 315 games. And I remember seeing this too last year, like when he scored all those goals and people were pretty excited. So in the 315 games in the KHL, 85 goals, 115 assists for 200 points. He's never really been a huge goal scorer.
Yeah.
I don't know like where the 39 came from last year, but I'm a little suspect based on looking at that pedigree there.
All right.
It also seems like he goes hot and cold. And from Flames fans, I'm sure they're hoping for and counting on probably more consistent performance like he had in 2022-23. And it sounds like by his quote that he realizes that as well.
Yeah.
So Andrei Kuzmenko is a 2022-23 Young Guns PSA 10, pop 300 on the nose, 31% gem rate, pretty low gem rate. Last sold for $42 on April 16th. It's flat over the past couple weeks, so very cheap. I think like raw at the time this came out was like $40.
Yep.
All right, Troy, there we go. Pulled up for the last time in the regular season, the Gong Show Struggle Bus. Oh, man, I got so happy when I saw the text from you when I knew who you were going to pick. But I'm not going to steal your thunder. Who did you put on the struggle bus for week 28?
I put this guy. This guy has just been a mess. PLD, Pierre-Luc Dubois. He's been a mess this year for the Kings. Now, at least the Kings still made the playoffs. So good news there for you Kings fans. California, yep. Dave, our buddy. Kings are in the playoffs. I don't know if PLD helped, probably hurt him more than he helped them get into the playoffs, but it's been a bad season. So
do you think Kings fans like him?
I don't even know it seems like the coaches don't like him. I don't know if the fans like him.
Nobody's
like
him anywhere he's been, but I got to be really honest for a second. I'm not sorry, any PLD collectors out there. We have very little things to take solace on in the state of our Minnesota Wild team.
Yeah.
But one of the things I can hang our hat on is, praise the Lord, we didn't trade for PLD.
Yeah, it's been bad. And it seems like when you start seeing the quotes about his effort and just doesn't seem like he cares, that's where you get just mad and frustrated. Is if I was a Kings fan seeing that stuff. So let's think
now, Troy, we've seen it in Columbus. We've seen it in Winnipeg.
Yeah.
And now in LA. So but you know what, though, this league, because he does have talent.
Yeah.
Somebody, if it doesn't work in LA, somebody will give him a shot. There'll be a bunch of articles in the summer about the new PLD.
Yep.
And then 4 months later, it'll be the same old story.
Yeah. I mean, PLD legit probably was a candidate for the struggle about 75% of the year. Maybe he's in running to be the driver of it. Who knows? But lots of factors are going into this, why he struggled so much. But let's look at his recent play. So, Josh, over the past 2 weeks, PLD has one goal, one assist for 2 points in seven games played. That just is not, I don't think, what the Kings really want going into the playoffs from him, but it's kind of expected this season. And I'm, like I've said before, I'm pretty certain you could argue PLD has been one of the biggest disappointments in the NHL this season. And it's crazy. This is a guy, Josh, who the Kings GM Rob Blake brought in and signed him to an 8-year, $8.5 million average annual value contract. And I think
they traded Iafallo and gave Velarde for him too, right?
Yeah, I think so. I didn't look up what exact the two players were, but 8.5 average annual value. That's how much they're paying this guy. And I think actually this season he gets his base salary is like $1 million, but he gets an $8 million bonus. So it's like $9 million. So it's pretty crazy. Rough. Yeah. So on the 2023-24 regular season, PLD had 16 goals, 24 assists for 40 points. That is a lot of money to pay a guy to be a 40-point scorer.
Yeah.
Also, PLD has spent most of his time with the Kings centering the third line and has recently seen time centering the fourth line.
Oh.
You have a guy making $8.5 to $9 million centering a third or fourth line. That is depressing and struggle bushes. That's why
would Torts even let him in the building?
Torts would have kicked him out a long time ago. He just sent him to the AHL, or he probably can't. I don't know if he had to clear waivers. I'm sure someone would grab him.
Yeah.
But so again, third, fourth line centering, lots of money, 40 points over the year. Not good. And it's not like PLD wasn't given a chance with the first two lines during the season. He was definitely given the opportunity, and he just didn't produce. And when I was doing research on just how rough this season has been, there's an article in The Athletic, and the writer's Harmon Dale. And he wrote this, and this was near like the middle end of March about PLD. And I think it really holds true and kind of just lets you know about PLD. It's like, so he says, sometimes when a talented player's production falls off dramatically, bad luck is heavily involved. That may have some impact on the Kings as they are shooting just 6.2% with Dubois on the ice at 5-on-5. But to fully buy that he's just been snake bitten, he'd need to be driving play like a monster, which has not been the case. PLD's two-way metrics are pedestrian, and he ranks sixth among Kings forwards in scoring chance contribution, either setting up a chance for a teammate or creating one for himself. That matches the eye test, as there are too many games where he's barely noticeable. PLD's lack of power play production has put a hefty dent in his overall point totals, as he has racked up 23 man advantage points last season, but has just 6 with the Kings. Again, remember, this is like end-ish March. His form has picked up since the All-Star break, but he needs to show more. And again, $8.5 million average annual contract.
It's just so the same PLD. Stuff again and again.
Yep, same stuff. PLD struggling all year, but he's struggling recently. So he found the struggle bus, came and got him. PLD is at 2017 Young Guns. PSA 10 pop is 438, gem rate of 47%. Recent sales of this card in March and April of this year ranged from 20 to 40 U.S. dollars. In October of 2023, sales were ranging in the 50 to 80 U.S. dollar range. So definitely down, which you'd expect.
Yep.
This guy better figure it out and turn it around. I hope.
P to the L to the D.
Yep.
Sitting on the struggle bus. Joining him, Kaapo Kakko. In the past 2 weeks, a 22-year-old Finnish forward. For your any New York Rangers, Troy, has 0 goals, 0 assists in 6 games. You go along with 8 penalty minutes and a -3 ±, which is great. And based on our photo here, too, can you also make the argument he's not even good at hugging? Is this like the weirdest hug you've ever seen in your life?
Yeah, if you watch on YouTube, Chris Kreider looks like he's in pain or he just doesn't want to hug Kaapo Kakko. But
so that puts Double K, his 23-24 regular season point totals at 13 goals, 6 assists for 19 points in 61 games. Not great. Last year, things were kind of trending up for Kakko, where he had 18 goals, 22 assists for 40 points in 82 games. So 2023-24 has been a season of regression for a young player, Troy, that really needed a season where he took another step forward. Yeah. And remember, he's the 2019 second overall pick in the NHL draft. So what's happened? And spent some time looking into this, because the whole like player development thing around these young Rangers guys is so interesting. Like I said, with a lot of the other Rangers young talent over the past couple of years, seems to be a question of, well, it's like one of two things, right? Has he been misused or miscast by the Rangers, or did they just make a poor choice in the draft? It seems like he's struggled to adjust to the NHL playstyle and physicality. He had a lot of success in the Finnish Liga over in Europe there, and just game has not translated to the North American style. He's had a fair share of injuries over his first few years, which everybody, not an excuse, but he's had to deal with a good amount there. His personal development has been great. And then you factor in the Rangers track record for developing talent. Yeah. And it's sort of tough to maybe understand there. And one of the things we talked about a lot with how one of the symptoms of how they've developed their talent is shuffling all over the lineup, like burying the kid line.
Yeah.
At the bottom of the lineup. there's a lot of question marks, I think, that you can have there. He was kind of did get some top 6 minutes of spring when it was, I think, pretty widely thought he was going to be trade bait for the trade deadline, and maybe a fresh start was necessary. He did end up sticking around, but who knows? Maybe it would have been better if he was traded. Still just 22, Troy, but at some point you got to start making it happen, because I think he's had 4 years in the league now. And when you're second overall pick and you have 13 goals and 19 points, it's not good. Kapokako is a 2019 Young Guns PSA 10, pop 244, 31% gem rate, another low gem rate.
Yep.
Last sold for $66 on April 4th. Technically up a ton, like 127% over the past few months, but there's kind of one of those outlier sales.
Yeah.
So that prior to the sale, like prior to that $66 one, it was like $27, $28, something like that. Final regular season struggle bus has PLD and Kapokako. Now, these two guys are in the playoffs, so maybe they'll turn it around.
Yeah.
It happened before. Right now, watch. They go on a tear and the NHL and playoff production or something like that. Okay, going to make a mention for Gaucho Partner sponsor Slab Sharks. Of course, we're thankful to them for supporting our show. The current Slab Sharks weekly eBay auction is live. You want to head to slabsharks.com. Check out all the amazing hockey cards up for grabs. Place your bids before heading to the Minnesota Card Show on Saturday. I spent some time looking at the auction, Troy, and found some bangers.
Yeah.
Not surprised there, but there's some big cards, like I would say monster cards this week's Slab Sharks. So here's the five that stood out to me. So this first one I would really want.
Yeah.
The 2014-15 Upper Deck Leon Draisaitl Young Guns High Gloss out of 10 BGS 9.5 True Gem Plus. So that True Gem Plus means all four subgrades are at least 9.5 with one 10 subgrade, which I think is centering in this case. So if you could have a True Gem Plus and you get to have one of the subgrades to be a 10, which one would you prefer be the 10? I think I'd go centering.
Yeah, I would want 10 to be the center. Mm-hmm. Correct. That makes sense.
Have you checked, right? Is there a Patreon level where it could be, it could be, I don't know if like there's a character limit on the name, but I'm thinking something like some multi-billionaire hockey card collector that likes this show buys Josh a Leon Draisaitl High Gloss.
I have not checked. I'm guessing they're not out there.
Let's add that to the list. Maybe right above the button bar.
All right, there we go.
Prioritize. No, amazing card. And somebody's going to be very lucky to get it. But that's just not the only monster toy. Found another one. This 2005-06 The Cup, Sidney Crosby. You ever heard of him?
I have. Good player. Good.
Emblems of Endorsements, RPA out of 15, BGS 910. Crosby, RPA with dual patches. Very, very nice. 10 auto.
Nice.
Cool card. Next card is, Banger's Glory. Yeah, 2019-20, The Cup, Cale Makar. This is an 05 retro. RPA out of 10. I like that patch. It's kind of cool.
Yep. Four color.
Mm-hmm. Four color patch. Now, the next one is could be from the upcoming Amazon documentary star Quinn Hughes. A 2019-20 SP Authentic Quinn Hughes Future Watch Auto out of 999 inscribed PSA 10. So the first 50 are inscribed. Yeah. So this auction just gets more and more insane. Yeah, it's not like
a lot of good cards.
$3 card eBay auction. No. There's like big, big hockey cards. Now, last week, we intentionally went un-Crosby or un-Bedard. But so I kind of had to get back in the swing and pick a Bedard for my last one, Troy. 2023-24 SP Game Used Bedard New Grooves Rookie Patch Auto out of 10. I just like that patch. Kind of cool patch from the feather, right?
When I see New Grooves, I think of Emperor's New Groove. So I think it'd be cool. Oh, someone photoshopped like the head thing he wears, the head dressing. I think that'd look fantastic.
Yeah, there's going to be so many amazing Bedard patch cards.
Yeah.
That's the best part of this whole Chicago thing. Believe me, Troy, just a handful of the great cards in this week's auction. You're going to want to check them out for yourself, slabsharks.com. And if you're a Canadian hockey cards collector, it's looking to wheel and deal, move some cards for cash, we'd might recommend considering Slab Sharks consignment services. Hey, they're going to be at the expo this week. In a big way. So if you're there, you want to stop by their booth. It's in Hall 5, booth number 1218. They'll be taking submissions for their auctions. They have the new app and portal that'll be live, so you can sign up for that. And then bring your Bedards to submit.
Yeah.
Remember, 98, we got a Bedard we might submit. Remember we talked about that one?
Yeah, I do remember.
Yeah, so I'll bring that. We'll discuss in Toronto. Then they're also partnering with CSC on Friday night of the show for their app release party and trade night from 7 to 11 p.m. at the International Center. That's where the Expo's at. It's free entry, so that's pretty awesome.
That's awesome.
Lots going on with Slab Sharks at the Expo. So many collectors are using their consignment services with Troy because they make it very easy to sell your cards on eBay. Plus, your cards get exposed to a really large pool of buyers as more and more collectors are using Slab Sharks as their go-to source to find great hockey cards. So for complete consignment information and to start the process of listing your cards today, check out slabsharks.com. Happy news!
Happy news.
All right, we're getting to crunch time. We're like April 22nd now.
Yeah.
And as we tune into the Road to Infinity, as we track the rise in pop count of the 2023 Connor Bedard Base Young Guns PSA 10. Last week, we pushed through the 1500 milestone, right? And we got about a week to get to 2000. That was our prediction for the end of the month. Pop reports have been updated. We did tabulations. And as of this recording, Troy, the PSA 10 pop count for the base Connor Bedard Young Guns is now up to 1,687. It's an increase of 165 PSA 10s from last Thursday's show. In total, 3,707 copies have now been graded by PSA, keeping the gem rate very consistently now for like the last 3 or 4 shows at 46%. So, Troy, we need to get 313 over the next week or a little more.
It's going to be close. It is going to be close. I think we can
Are we the biggest dorks ever? Because it's like, this is fun to me.
This is fun. I love watching this. I like doing the quick math and saying, okay, that's how many has been submitted. All right, let's average it out. Yeah, we're gonna get close. We'll see.
1,000, almost 1,700 PSA 10s already. It's crazy.
That's crazy.
Okay. We're going to move on, Troy. Yesterday, you and I went to St. Paul, Minnesota, the XL Energy Center. Well, is River Center part of XL or next or connected to it? Yes,
there's like, so you have the XL Energy Center, and then there's River Center, then there's Roy Wilkins Auditorium. It's like a trifecta, and they're all connected, and it's kind of nuts.
Yeah, so it was the Minnesota Card Show 2.0. I kind of hope they drop the whole like 0.0 thing. Like 10 years from now, is it going to be 10.0?
No kidding.
It's just like the big annual show. I think I heard, though, that they want to do more like Dallas and eventually get it to be quarterly, which would be kind of cool.
Yeah.
What's significant, though, is that it's really, for us here in Minnesota, that it gives us kind of most of our shows are a little more community shows, and this is like a legit, real deal, big time card show, 100,000 square feet. Kind of had the who's who of the autograph circuits. So you had Mike Tyson, Ric Flair, a lot of Minnesota legends like Dave Winfield and
Adrian Peterson,
Paul
Mahler. Yeah.
Now that this is 2.0, so that means it happened last year.
Yeah,
we didn't get to go though because
they
obviously didn't check with us, and they scheduled it during the expo.
Yeah,
and as much as we're Minnesota guys, Troy, when it comes to the hockey cards, we choose the expo in Canada 100 times out of 100.
Yep.
So we missed it, but it was schedules did not line up perfectly. So it was the weekend before the expo. This year we had the chance to go. Now we're going to get your feedback, but I overall was impressed, actually.
Yeah.
It's not like there's a ton of hockey specifically, but actually a little bit more than I expected.
Yep.
As a whole, Minnesota's still sad, maybe pathetic, wherever you want to fall in that spectrum when it comes to representation of hockey at card shows. But at this show, there were actually a few cards I really wanted. Like, it wasn't like a lot of times we go to a show and it's Cole Caulfield Young Guns. I mean, no offense to those, but stuff in Matt Boldy Young Guns and Kaprizov Young Guns, right? There's some like really neat cards that I was pretty excited about. One of them I'm still I was tossing and turning in my sleep last night, Troy, because there was we just had the whole whoop-de-doo about a Lure 16-bit.
Mm-hmm.
And sure enough, 2021, dollar-dollar bill Kirill the Thrill, Kaprizov 16-bit, PSA 10 was there.
Was it one of two? Is that what we figured out?
Yeah, one of two.
Yeah.
And then there's a really unique 2020 SP Authentic Kaprizov Future Watch Auto Acetate. So there's the Young Guns Acetate, then there's Future Watch Acetates. I think young as acetates are more desirable. But this one, though, the card owner had Kaprizov autograph in person and then put the inscription like you would have yeah. the first. So you have a Future Watch acetate with the auto and inscription, and the card wasn't graded, but it was BGS that the autograph was authenticated. So you didn't have to worry about that. Very tempting, but the problem was you and I were going to the expo, and so yeah. we're not millionaires.
No.
Right? And we have to budget. And we intently went to scope it out for the show, be good ambassadors of the hobby here, intending not to spend money. And so, you know, I had to kind of bite my fist a little bit, and because I really, really want that 16 bit. But mm-hmm. and then I was like, the guy, I'm like, do you have Instagram? He's like, no. Are you on any social media? No. Mm-hmm. I used to have business cards, but I didn't bring any. So I have no way of contacting him either. If like I don't find anything at the expo, which how am I not going to find anything at the expo? But
oh, yeah. it wasn't the breaker guy. I was like, he has stuff. I know he does. And he was yeah. really cool. Redline Breaks was his name. He had a lot of good
very
stuff.
Nice. Very sweet guy. Yeah.
Yeah. Very nice doctor. But the guy Josh is talking about just didn't have any like social, didn't have a business cards, didn't have anything.
Yeah. So I don't know. That one may have slipped through the fingers, but overall, very good experience. Very pleased to have something like this in the state of Minnesota. Hopefully they'll continue to build off it and make it better and better. But, and as you can see in our photo here, if you're watching on YouTube, it's pretty busy, pretty big yeah. space. What were your thoughts?
I thought it was way better than I expected. There was more hockey than I expected. Not a ton of hockey, like we said, but it's better than the usual one or two tables we see. I'm guessing there was 10 or 12 that had some mix of hockey. Some had all hockey. Even though you see this picture, it's 100,000 square feet. This picture makes it look like pretty crowded. It was actually okay to move around. And that's just, like, I yeah. hate when it just becomes, you can't move. I hate that. And I'll just leave. But it was actually really well set up. I thought good space for it. Again, I don't know what they're going to do. If they're going to try to get bigger and then where do you go next? I don't know. Convention center maybe or something, but yeah, I thought it was fantastic. Met a lot of cool people, ran into some Discord members, some listeners.
Yeah.
Talked to them. We complained about the Wild. It was fantastic.
Yeah. You're not a crowds guy. Like if you want to meet Troy, especially at the expo on Sunday or Saturday, if you're there,
Sunday, I'll be gone probably because who knows?
Yeah, we'll both be gone Sunday. But Saturday, the move to meet Troy is to go to the ballroom where all the tables are because Troy just like taps out. And he's like, I'm going to be in the ballroom. Yeah, good job. It's like I said, fun to see Minnesota get like a real big boy art show. Okay, next story, Troy.
A big one. I love that graphic. I love the graphic.
Hey, you like that? Spent way too much time. So the whole card cleaning thing is coming to a head, it seems like, here in the hobby. The PSA took some shots at Kurt's Card Care, where the Jeremy Lee show, been doing a lot of videos, been very open and vocal about sort of his mentality, philosophy, and methodology towards prepping and cleaning cards for grading. I think it all started even a week or so before, and I didn't look at the details, but there's something about like a Victor Wembanyama card that was cleaned, known to be cleaned before grading or something like that. And that's really, I think, what kind of juiced up the discourse on the whole kind of card cleaning and now card soaking. It's kind of funny how like there was like the whole like mega bid thing where that came into vernacular. I don't think I'd ever heard of card soaking until this week. Had you?
I have not. We're a family show. I would make a funny joke right now, but I'm not going to.
Yeah. For the Gong Show After Dark, that'll never happen. You can save it. Well, so it looks like the issue might be coming to a head, though, Troy. And
yeah.
Twitter account, Tiffany Cards, which is, it's like a social account that tracks like a lot of fake or altered cards. And they posted this 1953 Topps Jackie Robinson that ended up getting a PSA 2.5 grade that Kurt's Card Care had soaked, clean, and dried in one of his videos. And so he went through the process and submitted it online or posted the video online, then subbed the card to PSA, ended up getting a 2.5 grade. Now, if you're watching on the photo, there's a YouTube, there's a before and after. the red boxes kind of show the areas that were quote unquote like cleaned or improved. Mm-hmm. And then there's a bunch of yellow circles that I think were used to photo match the, gotcha, the rock hard to the PSA slab. And like you said, like Kurt's been, yeah, I guess to his credit, right? He's not trying to hide it. He kind of, and it's part of his marketing. He Wednesday nights, I think he does live, and this card he had like soaked, which is just what you think. He's got whatever his solution is, puts it in like a Tupperware and submerges it for like 20 minutes, and then basically puts it like in a, it's branded, but it looks like a cigar humidor.
Mm-hmm.
But instead of keeping humidity in, it must take humidity out, right? Because that's how he dries. Mm-hmm. Like some like lamp over this glass thing and thoroughly dry the card, submits it to PSA, gets a 2.5 grade. This whole thing gets on PSA's radar. And what do they do, Troy? They deactivate.
They do that.
They lower the boom on it. So, yeah. So they're saying that the card was altered or not qualified for grading.
Yeah.
Definitely shots fired. And as part of PSA's terms and conditions, they say cards cannot be altered before mm-hmm. submission. PSA actually chimed in and commented to on this matter. Here's what they said.
CLLCT, for those that don't know the joke, but
this is kind of a funny quote. This is from the president of PSA or collectors. Oh, no.
Apparently. I just read the first sentence.
We are fine blowing on it or using a dab or water or using microfiber to clean it, said Ryan Hoge or Hoge, president of Collectors Parent Company PSA. But when you are doing much more, we're not on board. Also reached out to Kurt Cologne, who is the founder of Kurt's Card Care. Got a comment from him as well. Now, Kurt has used a little media training here. You know, I like it. I mean, he just speaks his mind, but it's kind of funny, like being, because as we know, like is like a true media site.
Yeah.
So here's what Kurt said. I have nothing to hide. My videos are uncut. I'm showing people what I've been doing to my cards for 20 years, and the marketplace has clearly spoken. I have more than 20,000 customers using my product. It's the 5 or 6 trolls that scream the loudest that give me issues. A lot to unpack there, Troy.
Yep.
So it sort of brought up this question to me. Is card cleaning wrong? Is it okay? What's acceptable versus unacceptable when attempting to prep or make a card most presentable for grading? I want to hear your thoughts first.
I'm going to say it's not black and white. I come from, it's funny, there's a lot of other things in life and collectibles that cleaning and all this stuff is encouraged. We'll say comic books, pressing comic books and stuff like that is very well accepted and known as something you do. Here's where I struggle is I don't know where you draw the line. Yeah. Like PSA's definition of what that doesn't do anything for me. And I don't even know how you would define what you're going to consider altered versus, because like the dabs, they said they're fine with wiping it down. You're fine with, I just don't know what's the line is you cover the card 100% in the solution. Now it's altered. Is that it? If I take a razor blade and if I have like, I don't know what you want to call it, a little thread hanging off or something, you know, at the, on the edge and I cut it. Is that it? Did I go too far? I don't have a good answer. He's made a business of it and he's got a market for it. I'll tell you that much. I'm fine. I think I go into the camp of I'm okay if like wiping down and stuff. When you start cutting the card, that's where trimming and stuff is where I probably draw the line, but I'm really confused on what I should think with the solution, dumping it in a solution. And then there's been stuff where they said these cards have kind of reverted back over time. Like if the color was kind of fixed after a couple of years or something, that after the process, they've actually
really
faded back and reverted. So I don't know. I don't know.
That's where I could empathize with PSA is that.
Yeah.
If you grade it, how do you know that like 3 years from now, it's not going to disintegrate or something like that because of the chemicals that are used? Because he keeps his recipe private,
yeah,
proprietary, which makes sense, right? You're not going to, I'm assuming that it's, he's not like in a world-class like chemical lab making this. That is probably,
you know, I think he would, man, if he said he's like a restoration service, because right, junky cars I restore and sell them as collectibles.
Well, that's the point I was going to make. Okay, so let's say you have a classic Ferrari and you want to bring it to auction and there's a scratch in the paint and you buff it out so you can't even see it.
Yeah.
Would anyone care?
Yeah, I don't think so, because it's widely accepted in that community that that's what happens, right?
Which is a great point, right? And that's something that I think that has to enter this conversation.
Yeah.
Is for one reason or another, it's not widely accepted.
Yes.
In the hobby. And maybe that's, it just is that way. And it doesn't, just because it's accepted in cars or comic books or book restoration or something like that, doesn't mean that it necessarily has to be accepted in the hobby either. But I totally agree with you. It's like, where do you draw the line? And that's what makes the PSA quote so interesting to me, almost like they didn't run it by lawyers, which I'm sure they didn't.
Yeah.
Because when you say that you can, we're fine with dabs of water or microfiber, but there's no way to draw, when you make the, like, throw that out there, there's no way to draw a definitive line, right? It kind of makes me like the, this is such a bad way to explain it, but I can't think of a better way. Have you ever heard like the old sort of like trick where someone says, would you jump out of a plane for $10,000? And somebody says, yeah, I'd jump out of a plane for $10,000. Then they say, well, if you jump out of a plane for $10,000, you'd surely jump out of a plane for $9,700 then, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I'd do it. Well, if you jump out of a plane for $9,700, then you'd surely do it for $9,500. Right. Yeah. And the point is that there's no such thing as like these black and white Maginot lines of like, where like it becomes like a binary thing. So to say, for PSA to say that you can use a microfiber to clean cards, but not, and you can use water, you can dab with water, but you can't use Kurt's card carrier.
Can I dab the whole thing with water then?
Is that? Yeah. It's like, well, if I can put a, is that a drop? If I can put a drop, can I put two drops?
And
can
here,
I put a drop and a half?
Yeah.
Can I put...
And here's the great thing, that there's such a dichotomy of opinions. Like, we're going to get, I can tell you right now, I already know what's going to happen. We're going to comments on this when the show goes live. We're going to get tons of comments on this. And they're going to, people screaming, saying it's the worst thing ever. And there's going to be a few people in there going, no, it's great. You know, that's what he does. And he's helping the cards look better. And we're going to get messages about it. Like, this is such a divisive topic. I don't think there is a right answer yet. And the hobby hasn't figured out or settled where it wants to be on it.
I'm trying to think, like, I don't even know if I want to say this, but maybe I, because I don't want it to come off the wrong way, but I give him credit for people that, like, are very open and honest, because I'm a very, I'm very open and honest person. I always personally err to, because I believe in karma. It's like an integrity, right? I talk to my kids all the time about integrity is doing the right thing when nobody knows that you do or don't, or if nobody's looking, right? And so I really appreciate that if somebody's going to use some of these methods to clean their cards, that they disclose that they do.
Hmm.
But it's probably not the smartest thing.
Yeah.
I'm going, well,
especially
forward.
If PSA is going to start deactivating, I'm like, I'm curious how they're going to, how this gets handled by them going forward. And, I mean, I don't know if they're going to try and invest in technology that can show them all. I don't know. I have no clue. They're going to try to find where Kurt's talked about it and what card, and then just deactivate it like they did with this Jackie Robinson card. It will be interesting. It's such a hot topic, and I think there's still needs more discussion around it.
Okay.
Did you watch the live show where he was on Jeremy's?
Yeah, I watched a little bit of it.
And how was the comments on that, besides like people that were in there to troll?
I think Jeremy had it moderated. And
so
it was kind of making sure that, and Jeremy does a good job of not putting up with kind of trolling kind of stuff.
I just say, I'm guessing it was both ends, man. It was just like back and forth. But
I actually think this conversation has changed my mind a little bit. And here's how it has. On one hand, if I buy a card and it's in a slab or in a condition, do I necessarily care how it got, as long as it's reasonably, it's authentic. Do I really care if it got to how it got there? No, I just don't personally. People might have a different opinion. That's mm-hmm. cool. Doesn't make my opinion right or wrong. Where I think I do care on this matter is, let's say I want to buy a $10,000 Wayne Gretzky, $15,000 Wayne Gretzky rookie, like make like the biggest card purchase of my life. It's not disclosed that this card was like dunked for a half hour in Kurt's proprietary solution. And what if 6 years from now, that card I spent 15 grand on is like horribly mangled because of the long-term effect of whatever chemicals it was in.
Yeah. It's like,
I would be pretty bitter about
long-term effect. Like, I don't know.
Yeah. Cause I don't think Kurt's commissioned like a 10-year study on the long-term effect on the cards. Right. And so I guess for that reason, I would either, you know, not prefer my cards were not dunked or soaked or whatever it is, or, and why would PSA ever do this? But if card cleaning were to become actual really big thing, have it some sort of like mandatory disclosure. But I think though, the issue in that is, would PSA ever know if people weren't posting videos of them cleaning their cards online? It doesn't seem like they would.
Great question.
Do you ever see yourself doing anything like this? Like, I honestly, it's probably
that's the thing I can say. Like, I can sit there and draw, or I can see both sides and everything, but I would never do it myself. Like, I just wouldn't. That's just something I'm not going to do. And hey, I'm not the biggest grader anyway. So me sending a card in for grading is a rare thing. So me taking that extra step and going through this whole cleaning process, no, it's not going to happen with me.
I think I wouldn't because I'm necessarily going to say today it's wrong. It's because I don't know.
Yeah.
And I don't want, and I want to let other people figure it out.
Well, yeah, and I don't want, if somehow, some way, and this is all anecdotal evidence that I've heard, you know, that people have said, oh, that stuff comes back. I have no clue. I don't know if it does, but if it does, if that's an issue, I don't want that on me. I don't want to do that and then sell this card and then come back to me. That's just not what I want. So I stay away from it.
And you said, I think we're going to get a lot of comments regardless, but I'll just say otherwise too, that let us know what you guys think, because that's for us, and I think for everyone else too, like that's one of the best parts of our show is that we get to hear a lot of opinions, and I don't really know what to think on this. And so I'm really curious to see what everyone's opinion on the matter is. Okay, we're going to move on, Troy. The Golden 100 Part 1 is live. It was last year the first Golden 100.
I think that was the first time I remember hearing about it, but I am not going to say that with 100% positivity.
We got to... Full disclosure, we're tried and true PWCC guys, but we can't ignore something like this. I mean, this is a huge auction, and there's a couple of really cool cards. There's of the 100 items in part one of the Golden 100, which is kind of love marketing sometimes. It's like, well, how do we have like this really kind of great idea called Golden 100, but we want more than 100 stuff? We'll just do part one and part two.
Yeah.
Right. So part one of the Golden 100, four hockey cards.
Yeah.
Two really stood out to me that I want to cover. The other two, we've just, not that they're not great, we just have seen them before. So the first one, Troy, is a 1985 OPG Marley Mew BGS 10 pristine. BGS 10. Don't see that every day on eBay, that's for sure. Not a ton of all-time sales on this card, maybe a dozen or so, going back a dozen years, right? And to me, what makes this card super interesting, like aside from the rarity of the grade, is remember, BGS is known and is willing to grade sheet cut cards.
Yes.
PSA will not. And this is another, like, well, it's not as controversial as card cleaning, but some of those where there's not really a right answer. Sheet cut cards aren't bad. They were all produced at the exact same time. It's just that a certain amount of the sheets were not cut and packed out when the product was initially released. That even being said, so if this card was sheet cut, it's kind of rare it would be a BGS 10, because not that you wouldn't expect like perfect corners and edges, but a lot of these sheets were rolled up and it scratched the surface. So very, very often do they have low surface grades on them. And so that makes it kind of unique in of itself. But at the end of the day, there's opinions on sheet cut cards versus not.
And I'm going to ask a dumb question. At the end of the day, though, isn't every card a sheet cut card?
No, okay.
This would be sheet cut after the fact, right? Or I don't know how cards are produced. I don't.
Well, they're printed on big sheets and then they're cut at the factory. You're right. And
so this is like a not factory cut card. Yeah.
Okay, yeah. So this card could have been cut the day that it was produced. It could have been cut 23 years later.
Yeah. I gotcha.
Right up.
Yeah. I get the fact you can buy sheets at that Trauma Expo. Mm-hmm. There'll be people selling uncut sheets of cards and stuff. So,
and kind of that, I'm sure that there's ways to, like, if you really like wanted to go to some fancy lab and figure out when it was cut, but most of the time, like the way to have confidence in a BGS graded OPG card is from like the late 70s or early 80s is to, you want to see that fraying.
Yeah.
Right. And so when you see like perfect edges, perfect corners, I think it's not direct proof. It's not 100% scientific, but most people say, might be sheet cut at the time. Right. So again, this, it's not a right or wrong answer. It's a, what do you prefer? I like the rough cut. I like more like the romance of the card being in a pack somewhere and somebody's shoebox and then ultimately ended up being graded. But, you know, that's kind of just, you know, I don't know. Some people are like, who cares? So when I looked at the last, like, the sales of this, because I wanted to see if that sheet cut versus packed out card made a difference in sales, even at BGS 10. So there's been 13 BGS 10 copies of this card, or there are 13. Like, it's a pop 13. There's zero black labels. Last sale, Troy, was 28,800 US November of 2022. So I tried to find the PSA 10 sale nearest to that sale. And I found one same month, I believe. So the PSA 10, which is a lower grade, right? So for 42,000.
Wow.
Right. So that is a big difference. Now, PSA 10 right now, coincidentally, is worth about 29 grand, where this was back in November of 2022. So it'll be interesting to see where this sells. But if you were in the, if you had the cash and you wanted to get a Lemieux rookie, would you just go, what would your mindset be? Would you just be like, well, I'm just going to get a PSA 10. Because then I know I have a greater degree of confidence it was packed out and not sheet cut at a later date. Or does the whole sheet cut versus rough cut thing packed out thing not bother you?
It doesn't bother me. At the end of the day, if I'm buying this card, I'll tell you right now, I'm never letting go of it. They are going to have to pry it from my dead cold hands. So at the end of the day, I don't care if it's the PSA 10 or a BGS 10 or if it's sheet cut versus packed out.
Okay, the second card I wanted to point out is we're starting to see some bigger McDavid cards come out. We had one in the PWCC premiere. Now here is a 2015 UD Black Pro Penmanship Rookie Auto 101, a PSA Authentic. Auto looks decent, maybe a little bit light in some areas, but again, man, you don't see a lot of McDavid Rookie 101s.
Yeah.
So I'll be really curious to see, what do you think, like half of a Bedard 101 or something like
that? Yeah, no kidding. I just wish they would have, I do wish they would have picked a better picture.
Yeah.
Because the stick's going right where the autograph goes.
And it is kind of weird.
Off face. Like, I'm getting more annoyed by these faces where they just kind of do them dirty. It seems like it's more and more that I notice this.
Do you have an opinion on UD Black? Like, do you like because it's one of these like sets?
I like them. I like how they look.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it used to be so, right? This is when it was its own set. Now it's an insert in, I can't remember what set they throw it in, or if it's a couple sets they throw it in, like Exquisite.
Yes. I can't remember either.
Is it the cup? Is that where they put it? I can't. Don't quote me. I have to look it up.
The other two of the four cards, just so for posterity's sake, is a 1979 OPG Gretzky PSA 9, which. It's not a ho-hum card, but we see those come up every couple months. And then a 2016-17, the Cup Austin Matthews RPA. So again, all amazing cards, but ones we see more frequently. I'll be really curious to see where the Lemieux and where the McDavid Auto 101 end up. Okay, we're going to move on. I was thinking a lot, Troy, about the end of the regular season, where we've had like just top to bottom, like legendary performances from the NHL elite this year. Yep. I don't think we can expect this every year. It would almost be hard to top, right? Now next year we could, Have Ovi break the goals record? Probably not, but could. So I mean, that would be a huge thing.
Yeah.
But there really wasn't even a dud when you look at like the top players in the sport and hobby. Even our guy Ovi turned around in a big way.
Yep.
So what I wanted to do was roll through the top five hobby elite guys, kind of quickly recap what they did to make their season so special this year, and then look and see if it moved the hobby needle at all. And you know, we're still kind of in this, like, I think a lot of us coming out of the pandemic, coming out of 2022 when everything was record setting,
yeah,
where we're all a little uneasy as to like where the overall hobby market is. And I hear you have like all well-known peak guys who played ridiculous this year, and you would think that you'd hope that it would kind of move their hobby market. We'll start with McDavid, Troy. So his 2023-24 season highlights, he finished with 32 goals, 100 assists for 132 points. Just the fifth player in NHL history to record 100 assists in a season. Five players have done it in history, and two did it this year.
Yeah.
That's crazy. So he joins Gretzky, Lemieux, Bobby Orr, and Kucherov, who we'll talk about later, on that list, which is pretty impressive. Orr did it one time. Lemieux did it once. Gretzky just did it 11 times.
70 billion times.
I think it was 11 times in a row, too, which is
wow,
all sorts of mind-blowing. McDavid also led his team to a second-place finish in the Pacific Division of the Western Conference. So, you know, hopefully he'll make some playoff noise. Now, it's 32 goals, Troy, though. Lowest goals total since 2016-17, when he had 30. I'm starting to hear this narrative, and I don't know if this is people, like, drawing convenient logic or if this is a real thing maybe you've heard of, like, the whole, like, Yzerman sacrificing his offensive game to, you know, Scotty Bowman convinced Steve Yzerman to not be such a puck hog. Yeah. And Detroit started winning, sort of deal. Is there that thing going on with McDavid, or did he just not score a lot of goals?
I have no clue. I haven't seen anything like that, but maybe it's a little bit of it. But I would never want to put the rails or the handcuffs on him personally.
Yeah.
I would just be like, go do your thing.
So the question everyone's asking, has his season moved the hobby needle? So we'll look at this a couple ways for each of these guys. First, we'll look at the Young Guns. That's kind of a good barometer. He's a 2015 Young Guns, PSA 10, pop 2,847, 47% gem rate. That's over $2,982 US dollars on April 20th. So if you compare this to like the start of the season, it's up 20%. Over the last 6 months. So there you go. Okay, now the next like metric that I'm a little worried, Troy, you're a data guy. The like 4 hours it took me to do this is either going to go off the rails really quick or you're going to tell me it's really smart. So we'll no time like the present to find out. So what I did is I wanted to compare sales from the last 6 months, actually almost right now, coincides with the start of the season. So if you look at the block of sales over the last 6 months and then compare that to the prior year's 6 months, so like almost like a year, and look at how many sales over $1,000 were there, and then what was the total amount spent on the top five sales? As just a way to kind of see what more the higher end hobby market has looked like, not just sort of the base Young Guns. So this year, since the start of the season, there's been 928 McDavid sales of more than $1,000. Last year, there were 1,136 during last season. So that's down 18% year over year. If you look at total spent on the top five sales over the same time period, this past 6 months, so during this season, the top five McDavid sales totaled $393,061 US dollars. During last season, the top five sales totaled $313,500 US. So 25% more was spent on sales this year over last. Not perfect because so much goes into that, like what cards came available.
It's directional though. I mean, it's not going to pass any scientific standard, but
one of the things I was trying to like prove or disprove or just see for myself is because I kind of feel like most people think that the market is way down.
Yeah.
Right. And it might be, but you know, I look at these three data points and it's like, well, he's had a good year and you know, his hobby market's doing pretty good, I think, as a result. So But we'll go on to the next day. Austin Matthews. So his 2023-24 highlights, 69 goals. He's got the coolest photos. Nobody gets better photos than him, man. Also added 38 apples for 107 points. The most goals in a season for Matthews in his eight-year NHL career. 69 goals ties Matthews with Mario Lemieux and Mike Bossy for 15th most goals ever in an NHL season. It's the most goals in one season in the NHL in 32 years, Troy. Both Alexander Mogilny and Timo Solani at 76 in 1992-93. Most goals ever in an NHL season was only 92. Gretzky had that in 81-82. Didn't help the Leafs in game one, though, did it?
Oh, ooh, shots fired.
Shots fired. Too soon? Now, hey, Leafs fans, don't get mad at us. At least your team can make the playoffs. Unlike our dumpster fire of a situation here in Minnesota. So, can't come in. Okay, so Troy, here's a question for you. AM34 played 8 years in the NHL now. How many goals does he average per season? What do you think?
51.
46.
Oh, I was going to say 49 was my first thing, yeah. And then I changed it 51.
Shoot. It's pretty good. For the entirety of your career, yeah. Averaging 46 goals a year. For players with at least 200 career goals, Matthews is fifth all-time in goals per game average with a .665 average. Ahead of him are, so there's four guys ahead of him, right? Two guys were born in the 1800s, like, literally. Cy Denny and Cecil Babe Dye. Babe
Dye, we know about Babe Dye.
But then Mario Lemieux averaged, he's second, Mario Lemieux is second with .754 goals per game, and then Troy's guy Mike Bossy, .762.
Yep.
So a 69 goal season moved the hobby needle for Austin Matthews. We'll see. Austin Matthews, 2016 Young Guns, PSA 10, pop 3,511. 69% germ rate less over 1,158 US on April 20th. Up 24% since the start of the season, Troy. You got the card?
I do have the card. There it is.
There we go. Up. That's not bad. 24% since the start of the year. So again, looking at his bigger sales since the start of the 2023-24 season in the last 6 months, 281 sales for more than $1,000 US dollars or more. You look at the prior 6 months, year over year, prior 6 months was 241, 17% more sale, 17% more sales of more than $1,000 US dollars. Total spent on top five sales this past 6 months, $55,508. Year over year, 71,400, so 22% less in aggregate spent on the top five sales this season versus last.
So he's showing the trend we've heard, like, right, more sales but less dollars.
It's kind of, yeah, and again, the total amount spent is, like, there can be one, like, crazy card that goes up for auction that sells for $100,000 and it skews the whole bit.
Well, plus, like, you'd have to, like, seasonality. Like, how does seasonality play into this with the first half or second half?
Troy, we're not that smart. Okay, three more guys. Nikita Kucherov. One might think, after the season he's had where he joined Connie McDavid in the very exclusive, we've talked about 100 Apples Club, that his hobby market, if his hobby market were to ever reach to the level of respectability, this would be it.
Yep.
On the season, Cooch had 44 goals, 100 assists for 144 points, 81 games played. So he took one game and the All-Star Skills Challenge off this year.
I think he took the whole All-Star thing, weekend off or whatever it was.
The 44 goals and 144 points are both career highs. His 144 points also led the NHL in 2023-24. Over the past six seasons now, Kucherov, Troy, has averaged 107 points per year.
Wow.
Still just 30 years old, so he should have a number of good years left. Mm-hmm. The dude was amazing this season. Could win the Hart. I don't think anyone would be shocked if he did. But like Rodney Dangerfield, Troy, he gets no respect.
He doesn't. I know where this is going, and it's just going to make me sad.
Well, let's see if the hobby woke up, started appreciating Kucherov. Nikita Kucherov, 2013 Young Gun, PSA 10, pop 456, 58% gem rate. That sold for $594 US dollars on April 20th. Up 41% in the past 6 months.
Okay. All right. Mm. Starting to wake up. Starting to wake
up. Habits. He's coming.
He's coming.
Looking over the at the year-over-year data, comparing last 6 months to the prior year. In the last 6 months, Nikita Kucherov sales of more than $1,000 is 10. Now, year-over-year was 2.
And it's probably because people had these cards and now they're like, oh, now he's doing something. I'm going to sell these things as fast as possible.
And if you look at the total spent on the top five sales in the last 6 months, $13,274 US. Year over year, $5,502 US. So again, about 149% more spent on the top five sales.
It's just still depressing.
Okay, next high choice is your boyfriend, Sidney Crosby.
There we go.
2023-24, kind of felt like an ageless Tom Brady type season for Sid the Kid. Very appropriate, like he's playing like a kid. 36-year-old Crosby had 42 goals, 52 assists for 94 points. That's pretty good. In fact, right, for a player that's 36 years or older, it's historic. Here's the best point totals for players 36 or older in NHL history. Gordie Howe had 103 points at age 40 in 1968-69. He was 40 in 1968.
Wow.
That's more impressive than the 103 points. Joe Sakic, Troy, had 100 points at age 37 in 2006-07. Now, Crosby, is it Jean or Jean?
Jean
Rattel, and Timu Solani. They each have 94 points in their age 36 NHL season. Pretty good company. For 2023-24, Crosby led the Penguins in goals, assists, and points. Plus, the season saw Crosby hit a number of huge career milestones, got up to 1,000 assists, moved past Phil Esposito for 10th on the all-time scoring list, inched closer to 600 career goals, sitting at 592, so 8 goals away, and then finally, Troy likes him. he won Troy over as a fan. It's kind of too bad that, given how good of a year he had, that he couldn't find a way into the playoffs.
Yeah, couldn't get in the playoffs.
So this magical season, Troy, at 36 years old for Sidney Crosby, has it moved his hobby market? Let's find out. Sidney Crosby is a 2005 Young Guns PSA 10, pop 1,106, 52% gem rate, less sold for $2,623 US on April 18th. Down about 5% in the past 6 months.
Yeah.
Looking at the year-over-year data, comparing last 6 months to the prior year, sales of more than $1,000 US. The past 6 months, there's been 350 cards that have sold for more than $1,000 US. Prior year, 304. So 15% increase this year. But if you look at the total spent on the top five sales in the past 6 months this year, $155,259 US. The prior year period, Troy, $247,331 US.
Yeah. I mean,
so 36% less.
Yeah, a lot of Crosby's greatness. I mean, what else can he do? There's just, I don't know.
Yeah, just be great for longer at this point, right?
Just be great for longer.
Last guy we're looking at is Ovi. So the season was looking like a dumpster fire for Ovi fans and collectors all the way up to the first of the year and beyond.
Yeah.
Frankly. So, and I don't know why I was like so stuck on like 7 goals at the first of the year, probably because it was just a clean date. But I think he had like 8 goals as of January 24th. So he almost went a whole month with just one more goal after that. So on the first of the year, Troy, though, when he had 7 goals, it was in 35 games played. That was an 82-game pace of 16 goals for a season. Not good. Then again, after the January 24th game, Ovi had 8 goals in 44 games. Since then, though, he scored 23 goals in his last 36 games played, giving him a respectable, very respectable, 31 goals on the season. He added 34 assists, so he had ended the year with 65 points in 79 games played. Plus, his second half uptick helped lead his team to the playoffs. I don't think many people are picking the Caps to be a playoff team this year.
No, I don't think so.
I was not. Gotta admit that. So now Ovi sits at 853 career goals. The record, of course, is 894. He's 41 goals away from tying and 42 from history. Basically one good Ovi season away, Troy. The question is, at 38, does he have another 40-goal-plus season in him? Who knows, right? But what I think has changed the most in the past couple of months are the thoughts that a lot of people had that he is not going to get the record at this point.
Yeah.
That he was basically done. And you were one of those guys that chimed in. And so has Howie finished from where he was 2 months ago to where he is now? Has that changed your mind? Do you think he's going to get 42 more goals?
If he wants to play two or three more years, yes, he will get the record. However, I think he's kind of, I don't know. It seems like he's declining, and we'll see. I mean, he made a comeback this year that I didn't expect. So we'll see. I'll say this. If he goes 3 years, he'll get the record. No question.
In a weird way, do you think making the playoffs could hurt?
Like more toll on your body. It could, for sure. Yeah. Hockey playoffs are grueling. It's the most grueling playoffs there can be, especially
and they last forever. And so, yeah, and NBA does too. It's crazy.
Yep.
Okay. So, how has his hobby market fared in a very up and down season for Ovi? We'll find out here in a second. Alexander Ovechkin, 2005 Young Guns, PSA 10, popped 1,209, 37% gem rate. That's over $3,803 US dollars in April 11th, down about 4% in the past 6 months. So, it's both him and Crosby are about. Yeah, pretty close to, 4%, 5%. Looking at year-over-year data over the last 6 months, 454 of his cards sold for $1,000 or US more dollars. Prior year period, 572. So that's a 21% decrease. You look at the top five sales, like the total spent in the top five sales the past 6 months, $141,823 US dollars. The prior year period, 294,000 even. So about 52% less spent on the top five sales this season versus last. So his metrics are probably down the most. Part of me though thinks with Ovi that when that last year, the goals record became a very real thing and people did their big run on Ovi last year.
Yep.
But that's very anecdotal and just an opinion. And then again, he had a pretty up and down performance this season. So that's like the pretty crazy season for those, the top five guys, really active players in the hobby. Now, one thing, Troy, that I think you have to mention when comparing hobby market this year to last is the whole Bedard effect too, right? And the theory that so much money is being spent on Bedard that there's less money to go around everywhere else. And so could that have affected maybe the sales of like a Connor McDavid or an Alexander Ovechkin? Something like that. Do you agree that, or do you think that there's enough money being spent on Bedard that it would have a material impact on other players?
Well, I think it's got to. I mean, we've seen just too much crazy sales and money floating around on Bedard that's probably had some effect. I don't know how much, but it's probably definitely affected it a little bit.
And then I would say too that the high end market is not like setting the world on fire. Right. It's definitely, we're not seeing tons of huge, like six figure sales, $50,000, $60,000, $70,000, $80,000 sales. That pace seems to have slowed a little bit. I don't know what the reason is. Or again, I think a big part of that is availability, what cards come up for sale. And in hockey, we know that cards tend to get buried maybe more than in other sports, but maybe some of the more guys that participate at that level of the hobby will chime in and give us their thoughts. But do you have any other like takeaways from this exercise?
No, it was interesting to see it kind of, I don't know if it's what I thought it would be. It's funny. Like we do all these auction posts and everything. And like, I feel like the amount of these guys' cards we've been seeing is increased exponentially in the last month or two. It was interesting to see some of the data say that's true or not.
Yeah, I think it's like what we're not seeing though are like the PMG golds that sell for 60 grand or something like that.
Yeah.
Like those are the sales that, you know, we're seeing like more rarer cards that sell for about the same or like these crazy RPAs like with McDavid we've been seeing. Okay, we're going to switch out over to new product releases real quick. Not a ton going on this week. Metal Universe Champions comes out on Wednesday. I haven't even looked at the checklist, to be honest.
Haven't either.
It just doesn't excite me much.
That's one set I'm not that excited about.
There's usually like Wayne Gretzky and like a plain jersey, something like that.
Yeah.
And a couple of rookie guys, but just go to Beckett, I guess, and check it out if you want. But I did want to take the opportunity of new product releases, though, to look at SP Game Used, which has been out about 2.5 weeks now. and see what the how strong the secondary market sales have been. So SB Game Muse came out on April 3rd. It's the 2023-24 edition. Doesn't it seem like it came out more than 2 weeks ago?
It feels like 2 weeks, more than 2 weeks, but I guess not.
So we're going to look at the top five selling cards. What are the odds, Troy, if you haven't looked ahead, that even one of the five are not Connor Bedard?
I would guess none. I'm going to say they're all Bedard. Yeah. Am I right?
It's like a 0% chance.
I'm biased, though, because I loaded the pictures, and even though I do probably saw that they were all Bedard.
But if you were like setting Vegas odds for a question like that, it'd be like you'd have to bet like $1 to win like 4 cents.
Well, yeah, we've talked. This doesn't relate to gaming, but we talked about Black Diamond, where you can get the case hit, and if it's not Bedard, you ain't making your money back. So.
Nope. Okay, so we're gonna roll through the top five sales real quick. Number five, Troy, is a Deep Cuts Bedard auto in his Team Canada jersey.
Oops, thank you.
Sold for $2,720 on April 7th.
Team Canada sticker auto. Yeah.
I do like these deep cards, though. I'm kind of a fan of die cuts inside the card body. And it's got a die cut with like a background, and then it's also got a die cut that's further, that's see-through.
Yeah.
There's like two different like depths of deep cuts. Kind of cool. But this is not a card. Team Canada sticker autos don't do it for me. Number four is an Authentic Rookies Bedard jersey auto out of 49. So for 3,000 even on April 11th. Listen, such a broken record, Troy. We literally should never be surprised by anything Connor Bedard.
Yep.
But $3,000 for a jersey sticker auto.
Yep.
Out of 49. That's a huge number, man.
Yep, it's a huge one. I mean, I guess in the next one will be, 2,000 that comes up for sale of this.
Number three top sale is a Bedzie Ricky Ink sweater. Now, here's a nice three-color patch.
Yeah.
Out of 25, sold for $5,500 via eBay April 13th. Oh, we did the whole bid here, too, again, just so you know. It's the top five unique selling cards.
Yeah.
We picked each his respective top sale. All of them are on eBay, all verified and Terapeuta's paid for. Just to cover our bases there. Which gets very pertinent to the number two sale, which is a Draft Day Marks, the letter B, the top sale of this card, $7,500. We did a post on it. That's the most ever paid for any letter Draft Day Marks card. And then number one, we did another post. This one deserves like a minute or two of conversation. We got a lot of feedback on this one.
Yeah, so we got a lot of feedback.
This Connor Bedard, it's a 2001 like retro crossover rookie. It's out of five, sold for only $20,000, Troy.
Wow.
No auto, no memorabilia. And when we were driving to the Minnesota Card Show in St. Paul yesterday, we were talking about this, and I told you, I probably look dumb admitting this, but if I pulled this card and had no context, like that it had sold for 20 grand, like I went through the thought exercise of what would I list this card for? Like, and buy it, I probably would have listed for like 2 grand.
Yeah.
Because that's what it would have felt like worth to me. And so I'm thinking, well, what's the takeaways? Well, A, it shows what I know. And B, I think you have to auction big Connor Bedard cards at this point, don't you? Like, you're just leaving, like on a card like this where there's no historic, like no sales have occurred.
Yeah.
Like, you could be leaving big, big money.
Yeah,
I would have cost myself $18,000 had I pulled
this card. Was still a best offer, which is crazy. They just threw it out there.
Yeah, what was it listed for?
Huh?
I wonder what it was listed for, if that was best offer.
It was... That's a great question. I'm trying to find the listing. Hold on. No, you keep talking.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, that's all we had to say. But so, not a giant shock.
I should say it says fixed price.
Oh, and maybe it was fixed.
Yeah, I think it was. I think they just... Oh, $28,000 was what it was listed for. Mm. Best offer accepted.
Give him a deal at 20 grand, Troy.
Gave him a 20 deal. So this means... I mean, this sale right here tells me... Just be ridiculously high and stupid on your pricing and see what happens.
Yeah. $11 billion.
Yeah, just see what happens.
Here you go. Well, I want to do a little bonus because it's all Bedard cards. And I was curious. It's like, well, what's the top selling not Connor Bedard card? So let's do a drum roll button bar, please, Troy.
Oh, sorry. I just put it up.
Okay. It's Cooch.
Cooch. All right. He's coming back. Forget it's what Nikita I said.
2023 All-Star Skills NHL logo patch 101. Sold for $1,000 US on April 11th. They got to remember, though, this is from last year's NHL All-Star game, not the one this year where he completely mailed where it. Where he just
dogged it.
Now, do you think like the next years will be worth more with that story of him completely just like giving up?
Or what? Yeah, I don't know. Here's the patch he wore when he didn't try. I don't know. That to me doesn't sound like it would add value.
Well, there you go. Top SP game use sales so far. Okay, Troy, PWCC, got to make a mention for them, partner and sponsor. Grateful to them for their support of our show. PWCC will be at the Sport Card Expo as well in Toronto next week. Make sure you stop by and see them booth 416, I think in Hall 5 as well. So we keep mentioning Fixed Price Marketplace as an awesome way to find hockey cards.
Yep.
Many, many really good deals there. I kind of feel like it's like a nook and cranny in the hobby that gets slept on a little bit. It's like we forget about it, but it's a pretty big nook when you have 5,400 hockey cards and almost 100,000 cards in total. Many of the cards in the FPM or Fixed Price Marketplace, so we like to call them the business, you can place offers on too.
Yep.
So make an offer. Who knows? Right? Some guy wanted 28 grand for a Bedard and a guy offered 20 and he got the card. You never know. Right? Offers your cards you can submit an offer on. We're going to do our usual vintage and modern preview on Thursday show, but I got to do a sneak peek at one card, Troy.
Okay.
In the weekly, there's a huge card. Speaking of Betsy, we haven't seen one of these yet.
So did you know, do you remember this? We got a message from someone saying, how come I haven't seen any of the low, like Bedard high gloss or any of those be pulled? And it was funny. It's like, well, here's one. And he was, I think he was asking like how much product you think has been produced then. If we still haven't seen like a high gloss pulled.
Yeah. I think that the answer is, maybe not many of them pull, but then also just because we're like that, it doesn't mean that everybody that opens up cards like immediately runs to Instagram and posts pictures or posts them for sale. So it's a Connor Bedard Young Guns High Gloss out of 10. PSA 8.5. Have not seen a high gloss. I haven't seen one that's sold yet. But feeling a lot of eyeballs are going to be on this card on Sunday when the auction closes. And I'm looking at you, Troy. I know you well. I can see it in your face. You're thinking mega bid, aren't you? You're going to go all in. You're going to say, my kids aren't college material anyways. Wipe out their college funds. I'm going.
No, I am. I'm staying clear away. I can't mortgage the house. Do you want to take a guess what the current bid is?
Lower than I would think. 20,000.
No, it's way less. Remember, we're just 4,300, but we're still so early.
I'm going to ask you the question I asked you yesterday. At PSA 8.5, is this card worth more graded or more if you crack it and sell it raw and leave it up to the imagination of the buyer?
With the high gloss so low, I don't know. I don't know. Like, I would probably... Would you at least get it authenticated if you're then not going to grade it?
But a card like this, are you really worried that it's not authentic? Well, maybe.
I don't know. I don't know if someone's figured out how to fake these, but with grading, I get so stinking nervous after your experience of getting a card completely wrecked by PSA. And it's just, again, I don't grade a lot. And that would always be in the back of my head unless I like walked in that building and said, I'm going to sit here and watch you do every part of your process, which they would be like, no, you're not.
You are a naughty PWCC brand ambassador, Troy, because you have forgotten that any raw card submitted to PWCC goes through authentication through NBA authentication.
Oh, there we
go. You get the best of both.
There we go. You got it. So now back to
maybe that's the play.
Yeah, maybe that's the play. I don't know. I don't know if the grade helps or hurts here.
I think it hurts. I really do.
Yeah. Plus, it's such a low number.
If it was a 9, I don't think it does.
Yeah.
Last thing on this, and we're going to be a very, very teeny bit selfish but if you plan to like buy this card, hit us up for our affiliate link. And if you do that, Troy has guaranteed me he will come to your house and mow your lawn with a pair of kids. No. Good luck. Anyone bidding on that card?
Yeah, go for it.
Mailbag time.
Let's do it. All
right, Troy. Discord Mick. What would you do if you hit the Connor Bedard 101? Would you cash in the bounty if there even is still one? Do you think you get more than $1 million for it, or would you add it to your PC? Okay, Troy, you go first.
I'm selling. I'm calling David Adams and asking if the bounty is still alive, because we don't know if it is or not, because they've seemed to removed all words about it or mention of it on their website. If it is, I'm immediately jumping in my car and driving to, is it Buffalo? Driving to Buffalo and getting my $1 million. Bounty's not active. I'm probably looking at an auction house. Maybe Gong Show Partners, Slab Sharks, or PWCC, and I'm selling it. I'm taking the win, getting my money, and getting out.
Yeah. Great answer. I'm immediately driving to Buffalo, flying.
I don't want to fly, though, because then I have to go through TSA. And I just, there's been too many horror stories of like them would like take it and look at it and break it open because it's in a case or something.
On my way, I'll probably like DM Drake and the Biebs. See if they might want to spend more than $1 million. But I'm cashing in and taking the win.
Take the win.
Discord Blade Visionary. I believe that the 2023-24 season has been very much hype season in two major sports, with bringing generational talents to the NHL and Bedard and the NBA and Victor Wembanyama. Which player do you believe delivered more of the goods and came closer to achieving the hype in their respective individual seasons? And which player means more to the success of their respective sports hobby than the other?
There you go. It's all you. I have no clue about Wembanyama. I don't watch basketball unless it's a great question. Tournament. So go for it.
So if you follow basketball, Troy, you'd know that Wembanyama's rookie season has been off the charts, insane, historic ridiculousness.
He is very good in NBA 2K24. I've watched my son play with him.
Oh, okay.
Very good. Very good.
It might be the greatest rookie season ever in the NBA.
Wow. That's cool.
Not just has he lived up to the hype, but he smashed it. I mean, think of like in the terms of hockey, a better rookie year or as good a rookie year as Teemu Selänne. Mm-hmm. Now, when you look at like Bedard's been good this year, but his rookie year has been nowhere close to historic, in my opinion. Yeah. But the interesting part about this question is I think Bedard means more to hockey than Wembanyama means more to basketball, the hobby wise. Because basketball cards are already really popular.
Yeah, and really expensive.
Yeah. And I think in the next few weeks, we're going to have a conversation about. We're probably going to get a lot of opinion, but really kind of digging into how good of a season was this for Connor Bedard?
Yeah.
I mean, is it like, am I going to get struck by lightning right now if I say it was kind of mediocre?
I think that's a prevailing thought by some, but again, I'm curious how it compares to other 18-year-olds.
And you watch the eye test and you're like, oh, you know, there's...
Yeah.
It's not like he's like Dino Cicerelli in goals in there, just like pounding rebounds in, which no disrespect to that, but he you can tell he's like insanely skilled, but I'm just talking about like numbers on paper here, production.
I'm going to say I'm just without having done enough analysis, I'm going to say it's better than mediocre. Cause I also remember he was injured for a bit,
but it's not like historic.
Oh, he never said historic.
I did.
You did.
Yeah. Well, comparing to Wembanyama, it's nowhere near as good.
Oh, I don't care about that. I mean, I'm just saying Bedard, he's at like generational talent in Bedard's season as an 18-year-old. I think it's a little better than mediocre. That's just what harsh. I'm going with.
Okay. You're probably right. All right. Instagram, Dact Mac Fan Cards. Any clue how short printed Swagnificent image variation cards are for this year's flagship? You take this one.
I do. So I looked it up actually in TCDB, and Swagnificent in this year, Series 1 is 1 out of 848 packs. And then I'm pretty sure TCDB got that number from the EPAC odds, because if the cards are released on EPAC, they have to put the odds for everything. And so if you look at it there, it shows.
Do you know why?
I'm guessing it might be a Canadian law or something around it.
Like there's like some almost like weird like gambling aspect.
Yeah, I'm guessing there's some regulation where they have to do it. Now, Swagnificent, I know he doesn't ask this, but it was also in 22-23 Series 2. And if you look at the EPAC odds there, it's one in every 5,969 packs. So a little better odds in the most recent release of in Series 1.
I've actually briefly thought about having a collection of like cards like the Swagnificent. There's a lot of cards produced each year that fall into this category where their odds are like insanely tough and they sell for about 37 cents online.
Is that like Day of the Cup too? Are those
yeah, are pretty short. Yeah, they suffer. And they're so impossible. There's just a lot of cards like that. Or like we talked about Electrifying. Wasn't that in the last? No, not Electrifying.
Electric Ice.
Yeah. They sell for nothing. Super tough odds.
Yeah. And they're all the redemptions, right? Or not redemptions.
Those are EPAC achievements, I think.
Achievements, yeah.
All right, Instagram, the Nish hockey card. Stature is my favorite product, but I'm not seeing any release date for 2023-24. Do you know whether a release is being planned or is it being scrapped?
I had a panic attack when I read this question, but because I love Stature. Stature's awesome.
Were you like blowing into a paper bag or something like that?
No, Stature's awesome. I'm guessing it hasn't been announced yet, so I just have to sit and wait. But they have to do Stature again. They don't want to cancel it. You know, 21-22 Stature was released on August 16th of, is that 23? Is that right? Did I have the right date there?
And then they were like back to back.
Yeah, back to back. Then 22-23 Stature was released on November 22nd, 23. So I'm guessing they're giving it some time to breathe before announcing the next iteration. Plus, Stature is a good product. Plus, it's another product that you can put Bedard in. So I don't think there's any way they're canceling it. It's going to come out.
It's a super popular. It's a super. What's happening to me? It is a super popular product.
Yeah.
There's no, to your point, there's no way.
Yeah.
No way that in Connor Bedard's year, they're scrapping it. And it's been getting better and better every year.
Yep.
The patch autos in Stature are stupid nice. And I think I'm getting more and more confident that they're figuring out how to get the autos. How to get the autos to
autos on those
cards.
Those cards, correct, yeah.
Where they don't bubble.
Great point.
Instagram, the sport card journey. More of a fun question. You guys tend to joke about players hearing your show when they're on the struggle bus. In baseball, players seem a lot more public about collecting. Do you know of any hockey player that might listen to your show? That's a fantastic question.
Great question.
None that we know of and who are willing to publicly admit it. So
I think one of my goals is to, I need to talk to Upper Deck at the Expo and just, do they have a name of any NHL? I know you can find articles about NHL guys that collect, but I've never seen a really in-depth one of a current guy. Cause I'd love to try to get a guy on that plays in the NHL and collects. I think that'd be awesome.
Well, I think like what the whole Fanatics thing and Michael Rubin's connections is I'm going to say this and try it on and see if it fits, Troy. I think that he is helping make card collecting cool amongst professional athletes.
Yeah.
Like where they're into it now.
I mean, I know Bedard said in an interview he collected, but I think it's just like all of us as little kids. We just bought hockey cards. And now with the amount of time that these kids have to spend in hockey and to come up in this elite status and everything, I don't know if they have time to do anything else. They don't even know what hockey cards are anymore.
True. All right, California Dave, if you had to name the new Utah NHL team, what name would you choose? You can go first, Troy.
All right, I like the Utah Yetis, and I will say there was stories that there were six names were submitted to the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office for the new Utah NHL team, and here was the six names, Josh. Utah Blizzard, Utah Venom, Utah Fury, that will never be it. Utah HC, Utah Hockey Club, and the Utah Yetis. I'm saying Fury won't be because, boy, if you add one extra R
and you're going to be in a whole nother realm of a world with what's going on there. So I don't think they'll use that one, but I've always liked the Utah Yetis from the first time I saw that as a suggestion.
That's my favorite too.
Yeah.
A couple of those in this.
Well, I'll just say next year, it sounds like next year they're going to be a no name, like the Utah Hockey Club.
I was just going to say that. Yeah. I was just going to say that they're going to, there's just no time that if you listen to the Gary Bettman, Alex Marullo press conference, he was asked about the Utah name and to choose a name, design a logo, design the colors, unveil it, trademark it, all that stuff. It's not going to happen. What's also interesting to me too, though, because I saw the name submitted by the Utah ownership group.
Yeah.
What do you think of them going? It seems like that there's a little bit of interest to go like the soccer bit on the, like the FC, like football club, sort of hockey club. Do you like that vibe for hockey teams, or do you think that that should be more
I'm fine if they want to do that for the, we have no name, we're just going to call ourselves the Utah Hockey Club.
But what about long-term?
Long-term, no. I like mascots and NHL teams having an identity. Now, there is something cool about, like, Premier League soccer, or it's Chelsea Football Club. The thing is, all those teams do have nicknames, right, that they call their fans, or they call them. The only one I can think of is like, the English national team, or, like, the Lionesses. And I think they all do have some kind of nickname. It's not on their official name, but, again, I'm not a big Premier League soccer guy, so I don't know.
I think Utah Yetis are my favorite. My second is, and I'm a little bit undecided, I'm really for like the Kamloops Moose Jaw Wheat Kings Millionaire.
There you go. Got them all in one. I love it.
Discord, JT Hockey has two questions. I know people generally don't care for in-person autos on cards unless it's for their PC. Does this change for players who rarely or never sign with Upper Deck? Go for it, Troy.
So this was an interesting question. We got this because I was talking to a guy at the Minnesota Card Show. I don't know if you were talking to him at the same time, Josh, but it was on Saturday, and I cannot remember his name because I'm a bonehead. But he was a big Paul Kariya guy. And he said the big problem with that is Paul Kariya doesn't sign at all. So I think if you have a player in that kind of realm where they just do not sign, getting an on-card auto some way, somehow, that adds to the demand and the price of that card. So that's where I can see it really the demand being increased for it, is if there's someone known as they just do not sign, they don't do the card shows. Who knows if they'll sign in person if you run into them on the street. But I thought that was a very interesting anecdote to this question. Yeah, in-person autos are fine. I have nothing against them. I don't seek them out or anything. But if it's on a card, maybe. I don't know.
They have to be well-placed and well-thought-out.
Yep.
I don't like them like on a Gretzky rookie where you can't see half the auto, where it kind of ruins the picture of Gretzky and then ruins the auto, that sort of thing.
Well, I'll get like an example is our friend Neil, Irish Flyers collector. Like he thinks out the pen color, the pen type. I mean, he really goes into thinking about how that auto is going to look. That's, I think, a good way to think about it, too.
It's funny, like when you hear stuff from guys like about Kariya not signing, and then you think to yourself, it's like, geez, I don't know if I've ever seen a Paul Kariya auto. You know, it's like he probably doesn't sign because
he doesn't. And I mean, I did a search for it. And I found a Reddit string where a guy was like, yeah, I sent a letter to Kariya back in his rookie season. He sent me this. It's actually a card signed. And I was like, oh, keep that forever. No kidding.
All right. The next or second question from JT Hockey is, is there any sort of premium for cards produced after a team wins the cup? For example, Vegas cards in 2023-24 products, you know, you'd assume the picks are from the previous year when they won the cup. Are pictures always from the previous season except for rookies? I don't know if they're always from the previous year.
Yeah, I don't know either.
I think Upper Deck probably used the image that best fits the card. I don't know. I don't think photo makes that big of a difference, to be honest with you. It's more going to be memorabilia. Like if there's some sort of piece of mem that was either from the Stanley Cup finals or from that year where there's enough provenance where it tells you like the time frame of when it came from, then I could see a premium. What do you think, Troy?
No, that I'm dead on with you. This is where I just don't know enough about the secret sauce and how they're made. But yes, memorabilia pieces, at least to me, that's where it gets really cool. Mm-hmm.
Okay, next question. Top Shelf Cookie Sniper 88. Do we know the list of boxes to buy at the expo where you get the free promo packs? Yes, we do. It is the 2023-24 Series 2. Then there's five 2022-23 products. Credentials, Clear Cut, Parker's Champions, Ice, and OPG Platinum. Instagram, Distressed Clouds. What is Thursday like at the Sport Card Expo? Are the vendors there? All the vendors are there, Distress. And it's really like, I think most people would say if you want to get your shot at the best of the best cards, you're going to want to be there for the preview on Thursday night. It's actually when the dealers will do deals with each other.
Yep.
Like they'll mingle around and
they'll do it when they're setting up and stuff.
When they're setting up, you're right. Yeah. Before they get there. So it's definitely a worthwhile day to go to the show, in my opinion. Mm-hmm.
Plus, usually less crowded, but
yeah,
definitely. If you can do it, do it.
Oh, I love tinfoil hat questions, Troy.
Oh, I missed
Instagram, Taylor A. Wood says tinfoil hat time. Do you think the extremely high Bernard prices are people buying from themselves to drive up comps? Taylor, I don't. Because when you're talking about like let's take a look at that game used car that's over $20,000.
Mm-hmm.
That's what, $2,800 in fees?
Yeah.
Something like that. That's a big risk, to take a $2,000 plus risk to create a comp. When you have no idea what's going to happen to the market down the road. And it, has it ever happened? Sure, maybe like one or two guys have tried it, but at a frequent enough scale by enough people where it materially changes the hobby market for someone, I just don't think that it's that prevalent. Do you though, Troy?
I'm never surprised anymore. I don't put it past some people that if they think they can make a huge markup afterwards that makes up for that huge fee amount that they had to pay. And I don't know if people have figured out a game where you can, you know, pay and then somehow get the feedback by complaining and, you know, doing it with yourself or some different accounts and refunds. I think it's a great question. I don't know if I'm trying to be like, I hope not, but it wouldn't surprise me. It doesn't put it past. I don't put anything past anyone anymore on like stuff that people try to do. So probably not a great answer, but.
Next question, Instagram, McLeb Hockey Cards. Great question. What's the average markup in percentage that an LCS makes when selling a box of cards? It's a great question. I just don't know if there's a direct answer to this.
We need a card shop to just message us and say, they have all the stats. Here's our average. We won't say your name. How about that? And we'll just use the data.
To your point, though, it's an average. Like there's not like a flat typical percentage. Because there's a lot of variables that go into it. So it depends on like what their distribution situation looks like. Yep. Do they have a direct relationship with Upper Deck? Has it been long enough where they get a lot of their product? I think we've been told that they'll typically have a higher margin on product they get directly from Upper Deck and make sense a lower margin from distributors because there's one more person with their hand in the cookie jar. And then there's this whole slew of things where like we're told that and I don't know how true this is or not by hobby shops where they'll say, well, to get series two, you have to buy a whole bunch of these other products that you lose money on. And so I don't really know, because to some degree, when you talk to hobby shops, you know, their kind of incentive is to communicate in a manner that they never make money on anything. But I'm not exactly sure how true that I kind of feel like sometimes hobby shops downplay that a little bit.
Yeah, you never know. It's
but I can hear. All right, last question, Troy. New first time question asker, W Celio. Is Billy as handsome in person as he is on your podcast? That's a great question, W. We get asked this literally like none of the time. But if you want to know, I would say Billy is very striking in person, maybe devilishly handsome, somewhere of a cross between James Bond, The Rock, Jimmy Fallon, Sting, the musician, not the wrestler, maybe Legends of the Fall, Brad Pitt. And yeah, he's a good looking man. What do you think, Troy?
I like it. Billy's a great guy. William,
or W. So are we sure it's Billy? No, this is W. Cilio. We're not sure about
it. Could
who this
be
is.
It could be Walter.
It could be Walter. Great question.
Well, Troy, we actually have personal pickups. It's kind of amazing. I'll let you go.
I do. I got some. So two boxes. I know I said I was war chesting, but two boxes of Parker's Champions at the Minnesota Card Show 2.0, whatever we're calling it. Went by a booth. Guy had them listed for $100 a box. No tax, I don't think. Unless he included that. But it was a great price, so I bought two. They got nothing, basically. No autos. Got some napkin patches or jersey pieces of what Tarasenko is one of them and Officer Bob. And the best card is probably a Parker's mini wrapper back of Brett Hull.
Very cool card,
but boy, that was it. That was all I got.
I tried really hard not to buy anything because again, I wanted to go to the expo. Then I saw this card and I had to do it. It wasn't super expensive. It's a 2010-11 OPG Wayne Gretzky retro black rainbow out of 100. It's raw. I just think it's an awesome looking
card.
Yeah. So I had to pick it up. All right, Troy, that's our show. It's travel week. Got to head to the expo Wednesday morning. So I'm very excited about that. But if you like the episode, please leave a rating and review on Apple, Spotify, whatever podcast app you listen to us on. If you love the show, you want to support us, want to chat with us on the Hockey Cards Gong Show Discord server, please consider a $5 a month donation. Join our $1.99 support level tier on Patreon. Link is in the show description on both podcast apps and on YouTube. You can go to our website, hockeycardsgongshow.com, and click on the Become a Patron link. You can go to the Patreon website, patreon.com, and search for Hockey Cards Gong Show, or it's in our Instagram and TikTok profile, too. We are on social media. Follow us on Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, Twitter, and YouTube. And Troy, the Hockey Cards Gong Show podcast is a production of Dollar Box Ventures, LLC. Have a great start to your week, and we will chat with you all on Thursday.